We are live. Now, back to Chris Denman and Travis Terrell on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to We Are Live.
We sure are live. My name is Chris Denman. His is Travis Terrell. We've got Gainsey. We've got Hannah right here at the Over Under Bar and Grill last hour. We had a blast with Brian McAfee, general manager here at the Over Under, doing our first ever Picks of the Week game. Hanging out right here. Also talked to Carly. Chatted with her. She's running around doing our social media today. Killing it on the air for us as well. Gaines, how you feeling, buddy?
I feel great.
I do,
outstanding.
Too. Outstanding. Beautiful weather. Come hit the patio right here at the Over Under Bar and Grill. That's 911 Washington Avenue. We walked right over here from our offices. It's beautiful. You want to check them out online, overunderstl.com. Hit them up, 314-621-8881. I was talking with Brian. I'm excited to come watch UFC 205 here. We can talk about that for just a second. Tyron Woodley confirmed he's fighting at Madison Square Garden, former Mizzou wrestler, current UFC welterweight champion. This is what he said. He was challenging George St. Pierre. He was challenging Nick Diaz. He wanted a money fight. He's got it now. Why, Travis? Why, you ask?
Why, Chris?
Great. Really, really happy you're here with us. Now, Conor McGregor confirmed fighting for the lightweight title.
Oh, that guy.
Against Eddie Alvarez. Who's had a couple battles with Mizzou's own Michael Chandler. That's going to be the headliner for UFC 205.
Really?
Madison Square Garden. Looks like we're going to have Chris Weidman involved. He's a New York native. A couple others, I believe, Donald Cerrone is fighting Kelvin Gastelum as well.
So there's the potential for We Are Live from New York City.
Well, we're going to need Hannah to score us some free plane tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to need Gaines to hit it big on one of his parlays.
Let's hope.
And we're going to need you to meet Oprah on blackpeoplemeet.com.
Please, Oprah, return my flirt.
Exactly. No, I'm excited, man. Just to hit on this a little bit, I know we don't have to go super deep into MMA on this, despite my pleads. Please, every single day.
Guys, can we please talk about the prominence of jiu-jitsu in today's modern mixed martial arts?
And you turn me down every single time. No, this is fantastic. This is one of our own. This is a St. Louis guy. This is a Mizzou guy getting the opportunity. Yes, he won the title. That can be fleeting in this sport.
Yes, it can.
Now he has the opportunity this night alone, if he delivers a big performance as well. First of all, McGregor being on it just ups the money for everybody.
Right.
The exposure is through the roof, and it's Madison Square Garden. New York finally getting with the times, letting the union fall to the wayside that is holding them back. And now you get this guy, Tyron Woodley, an absolute beast, a family man. He's got three or four kids, I believe, and a good dude and a hard worker getting this opportunity. And I really just wanted to recognize that this is as big as it gets, the biggest stage in the world.
Yeah.
And if he's capable, he probably won't probably be a long, drawn-out fight with Wonderboy Thompson. But the opportunity to show yourself on this stage, I'm so proud of him, and I'm so excited for St. Louis and Missouri. And that could lead to big fights right here in St. Louis as well, because you get a champ like him who says, I want to fight in St. Louis. You're going to get some of those opportunities.
Well, actually, I hope he goes even a step further. I hope he actually does a big fight, should he win, at Madison Square Garden at the Ferguson Civic Center.
Oh,
to really showcase his city.
Yeah, yeah.
Really put it out there.
Bring it home.
No, but I think a guy like Woodley, this is, I think the most difficult thing is for any prize fighter is that title defense, that very first one out the gate.
Especially in the UFC, yeah.
Absolutely. And as you just said, the title can be very fleeting. You can be here today, gone tomorrow very quickly when it comes to this sport. So it's going to be beyond competitive, but it is exciting to see him on the same card as Conor McGregor. When Conor officially decides to finally accept Vince McMahon's offer and join a real promotion, then I would be very excited to finally watch a pay-per-view with Conor McGregor. But with that being said, he's still got a lot of talent, and it's going to be fun to watch him.
Well, and just the eyes and ears and minds and hearts and penises and everything else.
Wait, I don't even think that's necessary.
I thought that was how the saying went.
I'm almost certain that you read that
wrong. I agree, Chris.
Thank you.
Don't do that, Gaines. You're better than
Just the excitement around that, and with Conor McGregor, just this absolute force. And whether people like it or not, Eddie Alvarez is a bad son of a gun. His two fights with Michael Chandler.
Is he the Undertaker?
Some of the best I've ever seen. Thank you, Travis, for your input. No, just economically and then from a humanitarian standpoint, my interest in Tyron Woodley, in his family, in St. Yeah. Louis, in Mizzou, makes me that much more excited, too. And maybe you'll come down and watch the Over-Under Bar and Grill right here, Washington Avenue, so you can pump that up. Gaines, we're going to be joined by Elena Schneider from Politico. Ooh. You ready to fire this political talk back up around 6:30?
I am. I think it's a great time to get going again. And a pretty informed person to direct that conversation.
Absolutely. Travis, what did you feel was the deciding play in the Falcons game last night?
I tell you what, when Drew Brees threw that pass to his receiver and his receiver caught it, and the receiver was like, man, I caught the ball, and then the receiver tried to run the ball, mm-hmm. and then the Falcons player came over and tried to tackle him, yep. I was like, damn, son, yep. that's quite crazy. I can't right. believe they're doing this on Monday Night Football. And it was such a competitive football game where somebody had to win, Chris, and that team was the Atlanta Falcons. And so fly, Falcons, fly is what they always say down in Atlanta, Chris.
The Dirty Birds.
They are the Dirty Birds. And he's got a guy like Matty Ice Ryan throwing a Julio Jones, former Alabama stud. Good things happen. And that's what happened last night on Monday Night Football. Epic matchup. I cannot believe that no one watched that game. I cannot believe the numbers that showed the NFL took a huge hit because of the debates being on and no one watching. I'm sorry. I have to laugh at the NFL sometimes. And it's okay. Everyone was, of course, afraid this could happen over at the league office, that the debates were on literally eight networks last night, including Twitter and Yahoo. And everyone focused a lot of their attention on that. And no one really stood around to watch football. Whoop-de-doo, crybaby, crybaby. What you lose a day.
I remember Mr. Trump being a little nervous that nobody was going to watch him because of the the Monday Night Football matchup.
America really loves the hell out of their sports. They really do. But they were going to tune in for this spectacle.
Our friend Jonathan Kite, comedian and actor on Two Broke Girls, who's coming on someday back on our show.
I don't believe
he's been on like 10 times.
No, he's Hollywood. He's big time.
No, whenever I was listening to him on the radio when I was driving, all I could picture was him. It's fantastical. He does so many good impressions of expressive people.
No, I don't know. He's going to have a lot more to work with. Donald Trump inventing the word. That's what I like out of my potential presidential candidates.
Fantastical.
Fantastical and bigly. Bigly was last night's word.
So that's why you were such a H.W. Bush fan, huh?
I was. That's why I love W.
So that's
why
I bought his coloring language. Book. I mean, yes. His art book.
So what does SNL lead with this Saturday? The sniffles?
Oh, man.
I think you go Kate McKinnon. She's your she's your bigger star.
She does the Hillary
I think
thing.
You go full on like her reacting to Trump, right?
I would imagine you would have to do something along the lines that because Hillary did enough last night from most people's standpoint is to not fall on her face, essentially, that I think that her camp is celebrating.
That's so funny.
So take
to
advantage
me.
Of that.
I think at some point on SNL we get like a 12-second stare at the camera from Kate McKinnon.
I'm hoping
I'm all right
so.
With that.
I hope she just Harlem shakes
good,
for a good 2 minutes to show off the Hillary shimmy. Yeah. I hope the NFL players this week actually showcase that new dance. When they score a touchdown, they do the Hillary shimmy. Hmm. I like that. That was pretty impressive. I didn't know Hillary had the moves. Those Hillary shimmies.
It did. Like, seriously, I felt dry heave coming.
I mean,
it was,
like, I think
it was
she
so,
literally.
It was so. Hannah, can we agree on this?
I almost chucked my remote at the TV.
How gross was that? That's a high five.
Chucked my remote at the television.
I agree with Hannah for once. Absolutely.
By the way, we're going to have to get rid of that drop. I can't believe that actually happened. No,
it's the second time it's been played.
Oh, wow. So I think Hannah actually and her girlfriends are going to be at Wheelhouse this weekend. And when some Diplo gets played by the DJ, they're going to be doing the Hillary shimmy. I could absolutely do it.
I shimmy all the time. You she do. Did not you invent that.
So I'm excited to talk to Elena Schneider. She's very objective. I know we have our points of views in regards to the political mayhem that took place last night, but we have somebody like Elena who's worked for Politico who's going to give us the down-the-middle objective view of how this plays out. And I'm curious to see how the polls play out also this week after the debates. It sounded like some folks who were on the fence may have leaned towards Madam Secretary Hillary Clinton.
That, I think you can find whatever you want anywhere you want. ABC.
Vegas spoke. Vegas moved her from a minus 170 favorite to a minus 275 favorite.
I like that. That is facts I can count on.
I like it. It took the Vegas numbers to pique Chris's interest on that one.
Beef Momo texting in a picture of a faux Peyton Manning nude.
I saw that.
That's Matt Ehrenreich texting in the picture of the dude from Airplane snorting stuff while while Hillary was smiling. And we've got all kinds of stuff coming
Chris,
in.
Before-
I Snapchatted the entire debate with the deer filter to pass time.
Best way to watch.
That's Matt all Ehrenreich. I saw. That was my entire Snapchat feed. Was like 50 different filters of them.
Hey, Travis, you do need to answer this question. Right, City Lemming, me and Travis did our own version of Monday Night Raw last
oh,
night.
Oh, for the love of, come on, man. My aunt and uncles are listening to this. You didn't have to read that one. Come
true.
On, man.
It's hey. The text line, 855-CUP-TALK.
Here's the thing, though. Before we get back into the serious political talk, which we'll have Elena Schneider at the bottom of the hour from Politico.com. There was a situation that did take place that I was curious to get everyone's feedback on. That's everyone at the table and if those folks who are listening in their cars or at home. There was a story about these identical brothers out of Illinois. One of the brothers had committed the crime, but the twin brother was the actual one that ended up spending time in prison. And this individual who is now serving close to 99 years in jail finally confessed. But he finally confessed, essentially, that, no, it wasn't my brother who committed that crime. It was I who committed that crime. So it raised a question around the office today for those who have siblings or those who may not. You can also participate. But, Chris, would you, first off, lie to the feds to protect your sibling?
Without question.
Okay.
Wouldn't even hesitate. I'd be like, who? I don't know.
So now here's the next question.
Oh, the big guy?
Yeah.
Nah. He was
I'm on the
he was helping me mow my lawn.
I'm on page with you on that one.
Okay.
Chris, would you do time if your sibling committed the crime and you were forced to spend time in jail? Would you do
and
the
it would
time?
Be like worse if he did if he took the time?
Essentially
there would be a conversation. Why am I doing
right,
this?
Right, I'm sure that will be a conversation,
but
are
yeah,
you
sure. Yeah.
Really?
Some time for him?
Interesting.
99 years?
Would you do 99 years in jail?
Dave, I'll write you once a month, if that's the case.
Wow. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not doing 99 years.
But what if that was
23.
What if that was
respect.
Close to the life sentence.
I'm an only child, so I can't really relate, but that's a lot of
yeah,
years
you won't.
To me.
You'll never understand.
Hanners,
yeah.
You have
I'm
siblings,
fine with
yeah?
That.
Yeah, I have a younger brother.
Aw, what up, bro? What up, bro, Yates? What up, bro?
Yeah, he's
would
in Florida, so probably not listening.
Oh, okay. He's a streamer.
Oh, okay.
You don't have him stream?
No,
he doesn't podcast.
He podcasts.
Okay.
Would you do time for your little brother?
I would.
Really? So a life sentence.
Yeah.
You're okay. You would do a life sentence for your little brother.
Yeah. It's a, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, if I think he deserves the sentence, then he should serve the time.
But what it, okay.
Yeah, if it's something terrible, I'm not even doing a year. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
What if he?
But at the same time, if it was something like, listen, that guy,
mm-hmm.
he really screwed you over. I mm-hmm. get it. You've got the.
So it's the crime.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
the crime
yeah, you think
that
about,
ultimately
right.
yeah. does it.
What was
okay.
it? Kramer on Seinfeld. Of course I turned you in. What if you murdered me?
Right.
One of those. Now, I'm down to step in for him, and I'll do the time. You're talking to a guy, I've ran into like a crowd of like 10 people swinging
sure.
to my brother before. So it's like, it's not, it's whatever. Yeah, I'm into that. But yeah, we got to just, Hannah's got a great point. We
so
got
to has to.
We got
to
talk about where we're
on the crime.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if your sibling does something terrible to children, well then it's like I'll cut his throat myself.
Right.
Yeah.
But
okay.
at the same time, if it's a crime of passion and maybe. And maybe,
crime of passion.
And maybe it saves him some years, and it won't hurt me as much to do it in a heartbeat.
Really?
I wouldn't even think
interesting.
Twice.
Travis,
I
now ask me the same about my radio co-host.
Radio
oh,
co-host,
oh Chris,
not a chance.
Does it depend which ones?
Oh, very good point.
I don't. I have one co-host, so I mean,
ooh,
that's, yeah. That's
I like a, how you guys tried to infuse yourself like Pat Emick did with the Sporting News. I like how you all did
slip that into
just
one of the world's biggest sports
in
publication.
Chris, all right, then I'll put you really on the spot. You had to choose. One of us has to go to jail. Travis Terrell, Tim McKernan. Who's going to jail?
Oh, Tim would be in there. He would be running that place in a heartbeat. You're too fragile emotionally.
I'm very fragile emotionally.
And I would have that conversation with Tim. Listen, here's the reality.
We'll start riding. Travis
won't make it a Friday.
You're gonna bluff these guys. You're gonna be running shop in there, and all your lemmings are gonna come visit you and send you files and cakes and all that good stuff.
That is so true.
It's not even a question of that. And Tim would gladly understand that because again, you're emotionally weak, Travis.
I am very emotionally weak. Everyone knows me very well. I don't know why I've been single for 2 years.
It'd be a different
years,
black people meet in there.
Oh my! I don't want to meet those black
M-E-A-T.
People.
M-E-A-T.
I don't want to. No, not at all.
It's a penis joke.
I see what you did there. I would absolutely. I would definitely do jail time for my siblings. Gosh, I'm trying to see if there's even an exception. Something along the lines of murder, especially someone who obviously didn't deserve it. I would make sure they do the proper time for doing that. But I guess it does depend on the crime. Gaines, what about yourself? What if it was Mama Gaines? By the way, Mama Gaines, if you're listening, again, hope you're doing well, baby girl. A happy Tuesday. Hope everything going well up for you. Be safe out there in that traffic, okay? Those cars can be kind of crazy. But Gainesy, what if it was Mama Gaines?
See, I don't think she would want me to be on the inside while she was still living. So
Mama Gaines got some living to do. She'd like to kick it, too. She'd like to go to Vegas. She'd like to go to South Beach.
But, yeah, so if she was caught jaywalking, sorry, Mom, you got to spend a night in jail. See
Wow, Mama Gaines, you heard it here first. So if you want to send your new Christmas gifts to me, you're more than welcome to do so, since Gainesy apparently
she would be so distraught while I was behind bars that I just couldn't do that to her.
For her sake.
For her sake, you're not going to go behind.
You wouldn't allow that? You know, I want to just rip into him, like call him soft and a mama's boy and all that stuff. But, like, if I'm home, my mom's like, you want a sandwich? And I'm like, I told you I'm not eating bread. She's like, yeah, but I can make you a sandwich. It's like, all right, fine.
All right, Chris. Mama Demon stabs Katy Perry. Are you sending Mama to jail? Or are you just taking the bullet from Mama Denman?
But did she stab her because she hurt Chris's feelings and she was sticking up?
No, because Mama Denman saw that Katy was taking away all the attention. Her baby was going on, and so Mama Denman got upset and decided to stab Katy Perry.
A lot of Katy Perry references.
You are in love with her, and we all know this. Second on the list is Michelle Obama for you, but we all know Katy Perry is at the top of your list.
Talk about people in love. Mike Lee on the phone. Mike Lee, what's up, man?
Hey, I was on Ray of FM this morning.
Well, you were on FM. What? Joy 99.
I was on FM 107 this morning.
Yeah, way to rub it in,
Mike. To light, Mike.
Hey, someday we'll be there, too.
Do you tell them that you're on this show when you go on their show?
I'm on you guys' show, too, and they put me on right. to FM 107.
Okay, well, you're on 107. I want you to let them know that you also come on to We Are Live, which you can catch 5 days a week from 4 to 7 here on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Hey, I would like to go out with Hannah.
Okay. Oh, well, we're at the over-under bar and grill down here on Washington Avenue. That's 911 Washington Avenue. Mike, we will like to see you at our next remote coming up. Okay, buddy?
All right.
All right. Anything else going on, Mike? Yeah, Travis wants him to win, too.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll make sure they do the win today, okay?
Bye.
Bye, Mike.
Oh, Hannah told Mike bye. I like that.
I like Mike Lee. We most recent post to the amazing TMA fan page was that Hannah was feeling him. So,
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike Lee went to the fan page to alert everyone. This happened yesterday.
I believe you were there,
that
Chris.
Indeed. Yes, you were. And so,
at the Hot Shots party.
No, he put it on the face bat.
You turn it into Gaines,
Lemming.
Bro?
No, I'm sitting right Lemming. Next to him, okay. So it's only a matter of time. It is his birthday. We do have Elena Schneider here at 6:30. Before we get to that, I do want to give a shout-out, as Chris has done early in the show, to Timothy Michael McKernan, our leader and Lord and Savior, of course, at InsideSTL.com. Happy birthday to a man who has given us the opportunity to be on Drive Time, and we certainly appreciate what he's done for our show, what he's done for Chris and myself, for Hannah and Gainesy, of course, bringing them to the team. We wouldn't have the show that we presently have if it wasn't for his very kind guidance. So we certainly appreciate what he's done. Right. And I hope he's enjoying the Big 4-0.
And whatever. And whatever accompanies.
With my dolphin sissy.
With this dolphin sissy and maybe another
Wonder how you're going to stick around at this station 10 times longer than we will ever. How about this? Sular Dave asking, I want to go out with Travis. Can I come by over under and be his chair?
No.
Yes.
What?
Come to over under.
No, that's not what they mean
by
over under.
I interrupted your point, Travis.
No, that's not what they mean at all. No, and to that point, also, Tim celebrates a birthday with the one and only Latonchi. A.K.A. Lil Weezy, A.K.A. Lil Wayne.
Is this a country
singer? Birthday. No, he is a rapper, a very famous rapper. He's been performing on in the world of hip-hop, Chris, since he was like 10. And I want
to. I'm a hot boy.
He was a hot boy. And I want to salute to you. Boy. There was talk that Lil Wayne was trying to retire. Here's the thing. There's no 401k plan when it comes to rappers. So, Lil Wayne, I know you're going to hang around a little bit. I heard today that the judge has decided that the folks over at Cash Money Records now have to release their financials so you can finally get paid. And I hope that Lil Tunchi gets paid so he can stick around, Gainesy, and give us more of that hot fire he has provided to us for more than two decades.
Do you think Tim and Wayne are hanging out?
I'm almost certain they are. When I think of a dynamic duo, the first two that come to mind, Tim McKernan and Lil Weezy. F your baby.
Jimmy B, I'm with Mike Lee. I'd love to be Hannah's spin class. Well
no. Can't read that one.
Bonterre inmate. Guys, I knew. No, it's not. This is from Harambe. Guys, I knew where to find Hillary's deleted emails. That's why I was shot.
Every time I hear that, I just imagine an actual Harambe sitting in a chair texting.
I like to think he has like little glasses on.
Yeah, he's just sitting there like.
Do you think he'd wear a sport coat?
No, I think he's just naked sitting there.
Somebody created.
But he's in a big velvet chair, right?
But he's in that's a big old chair in a living room.
There's a fireplace behind him.
Somebody created Harambe in the new NBA 2K and put him on Cleveland.
Is he? Oh, that's the only way to match and combat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, because you can do the face thing where you take a picture of yourself and it superimposes your face on the game. So a guy sticks a picture of Harambe in front of his face for the camera, and it actually superimposed it almost perfectly.
That is brilliant. Wow. I absolutely
I'm
love
so
it.
I'm so happy about this.
You should
this.
Check also out Hanner's Snapchat because we did a face swap earlier today.
Blackface. It was, you're advocating.
You know what? I didn't technically.
If it benefits you.
Unbelievable.
If it
really.
Benefits
if it
you.
It benefits me.
Because Hannah's friends are going to see it. You're now okay with blackface.
Just like that is not.
No, that is not exactly. No, that's not what happened.
You should have.
So
beautiful.
Look at this. Oh, that is delightful.
Hannah, why don't you throw out your Snapchat?
Yeah, why don't you throw out the
here?
Snapper Mix snaps? No? Okay. We're just trying to build a brand
Matt
here.
Matt Ehrenreich. Hey, Travis. I want to go on a carriage ride with you. Holla at me.
That would be nice. The weather is getting nice.
Hold me like a small koala bear.
That would only be nice.
I'd go on a carriage ride with Matt Ehrenreich.
I would put a mock turtleneck on and definitely go on a carriage ride with him. That's
mock
not a problem.
Hi, baby girl.
Mock turtleneck by the name of Gaines.
Yeah, well, Hannah, you're going to be on a carriage ride here in about a week or so, aren't you?
Yep.
That's going to be quite delightful. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking
forward
to that.
Timber fake.
It's exciting. Hey, Hannah, how many days does she have left, Chris? Four?
Yeah, the 1st of October. So Friday, whenever the clock strikes midnight.
Wow, that's going to really be difficult for you, Hannah.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah? That's going to be like, oh, yeah. And here's the thing that's going to happen. It's going to be a beautiful story when you guys talk to your kids when you guys get older that this was where it started. Mm. All over a bet that you can come through for.
Please stop all your
I'm just saying.
Just pump the brakes.
I'm just saying. That would be quite delightful, you two starting a family together in Moberly, Missouri.
One of my favorite places covering for KOMU.
Oh, man. Little chin strap kids running around. Daughter's getting pregnant at like 7.
Oh, God bless it.
So now the fun begins, boys and girls. The second debate will take place here in St. Louis, Missouri.
And they're going to have it right here at Over Under, too. So they're going to show that. But sorry, go ahead.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of people in town. It's almost going to be sort of like an all-star game where you have celebrities and people from all walks of life. I think there are going to be a lot of people from all walks of life that are going to be a part of what's going to take place in and around St. Louis leading up to the debate. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for this discussion we're going to have with Elena Schneider from Political.com. We're going to get a little bit more into the debates, the fallout from the debates, what to expect the upcoming debates.
I'm interested to see what she has to say about the upcoming debates because it could be a situation where, I mean, last night had its entertaining moments. I mean, it could get really entertaining.
Last night it led up to the hype. I certainly thought it was entertaining as hell, and maybe the listeners are right. Maybe that's the only reason why we're tuning in. I don't think anyone's specifically tuning in at this point to have their minds change. And I don't think most Americans believe, one, half the things that are coming out of these two candidates' mouths, and two, that whatever they say will ultimately sway them one way or the other. But from the spectacle standpoint, I will have to say, and maybe this is my glutton for this type of entertainment.
I thought you were going to say for like girls that are rude to you.
Well, feel that too.
That as well. That
mine's the pizza.
There was
pizza. Yours is crazy girls.
So Hannah has blown me up, and now you have thrown me under the bus.
First of all,
Gazy, what do you got? Do you have today?
Your beard looks great.
Oh, Gazy always finds a way to bring around the compliments.
Again,
that make me feel
whenever
good.
This ends, and I'm sure it'll end in heartbreak, these two will remain with Inside STL. Don't ever laugh that agreeingly ever again.
And it was like, you're like, right, Chris.
It's already on paper.
You're
going to
be unemployed. Hope you enjoy that. That's
enjoy that podcast. Travis, whenever you go online and you're looking for stuff to enjoy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Whenever you're like happy and excited, you go to DraftKings.
Oh, okay.
DraftKings, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. The player who finished 800th in week one's biggest fantasy football contest took home $100. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. DraftKings is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Renew old rivalries with friends, family, coworkers to find out who the superior GM really is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings has something for everyone. Don't wait. Go to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter promo code QUARTERBACK and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code QUARTERBACK to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Do you think things like these, though, when it comes to I know how emotional and passionate both sides can get when it comes to their candidates and the issues. For you guys, have you hit that point, whether it's via your social media accounts or even with your family and friends, where some relationships have become frayed because of this election?
No.
I don't.
I never throw it. Well, I'm not a type of person to throw it in someone's face.
Sure.
And I feel like your friends, you should just be laid back. If you can't talk about it, then don't talk about it.
And
you know,
maybe,
don't be that person.
Maybe that's who we surround ourselves with, too. And with Facebook, I know we all have, I mean, not as many as Hannah, but we all have a lot of social friends. And friends is a very loose term.
Sure.
Whenever you're talking about Facebook or connections or something, something that we're talking about. But my thought is the people that throw out the delete yourself right now from my Facebook, that bugs me more than I think somebody just expressing their opinion. Now, if something terrible was to accompany them saying,
right,
I'm voting for so-and-so or whatever, I just find it to be strange, and I find it to be inefficient if people are going to express their feelings over social media like that. There's no place for it. You can have fun, and you can have spirited debates and good, tactful discussions, but we know that's not going to happen.
Right.
In a 2,000 comment Facebook thread where people are just hurling insults and different things like that. So I'm a little more pointed with what I let upset me, and I don't have people tying in terrible, disgusting, terrible statements with these from either side. If anything, I see more, which is surprising to me given my background and where I'm from and things like that. If anything, I see more gross, disgusting things, which is surprising, from the Hillary side of people supporting this and making just outlandish statements saying, if you do this, then you're this. And it's just that's gross to me. But I'm not exactly sure that I can let things like somebody's Facebook bother me that much.
And I think you made a good point. I guess it depends on the people you surround yourself with in regards to how you go about and addressing these issues. I know that these things, every 4 years, these issues, these candidates, everything becomes so polarizing. And to a degree, to a point that I believe one of our listeners made yesterday, I think that kind of how, oh man, I hate being the guy to point the finger, but I feel like sometimes the media does want that. I think they want that division. They want that polarization, and sometimes they pour the gasoline on certain issues so they can create this divide because it does generate more subscribers, more listeners.
And whenever I think of polarizing political figures, I think of Elena Schneider from Politico. Follow her on Twitter at EC_Schneider. Elena, thank you so much for coming back on. How are you?
Guys, what are you saying about the media?
No, we love them. You guys are always...
Oh, they're fine. They're perfectly fine. You know what? We are the most diverse radio show of all time. And you know what? I think we deserve more credit. I'd like you to push us to the front of Politico, Elena. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do on that.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. Cool. Call you later. No, Elena, we had obviously the big show off last night, and we laughed because we talked some sports on this show as well. All of us tuned in to the debates. That was the hot item of the night. I feel like maybe you have some insight into, I guess, from the Politico side of things, into what that meant to the American people, who won this, that, the other. I don't know. How did you come away from your objective? We love your opinions on things, or your just objective reporting. How do you feel the overall, I guess, feeling post first debate was for Trump and Hillary?
Sure. Well, I think the number one takeaway is that for the first 30 minutes, Trump had Hillary essentially on the ropes. Right. He had some great zingers about trade. He really had her sort of backpedaling a little bit, held her to her comments about calling TPP the gold standard, you know, on NAFTA, all kinds of different things that have really upset people. And he said that he was the one who forced her to sort of change her position on trade. That's not quite the case. I think it was more Bernie Sanders who had something to do with that. But it was a really effective way to get her, you know, on the ropes about this sort of stuff and points to her issues that she's got in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, these places where trade is a hugely important issue. But then we have the second two-thirds of the debate, that's terrible math, the rest of the debate, in which Hillary was really able to dominate Donald Trump. She set kind of a number of sort of verbal traps for him, in which she mentioned his dad and the loan that he gave him, and the various moments where she just sort of couldn't let these things go, and opposed to, you know, attacking her on Benghazi or on her email problems, he just let her get away with just saying a one-line explanation and put it to rest. And, you know, Hillary's folks will say, well, that's exactly as it should be, but I think that that was an opening he should have taken and he failed to take completely. And whether or not we'll see a shift in the next two debates, if he'll have learned something from having been taken off message so completely, we'll see. We don't even know quite yet whether or not he'll show up to those next two debates.
Wow.
But I think
really?
At the end of the day, yeah, well, they definitely, the advisors are floating this idea, this possibility that he won't attend. He won't participate. So if that happens, that would be pretty unprecedented.
Wow.
I don't know if he'll ever walk away from a camera, so I'll believe it when I see it. But, but I think for the most part, you know, Trump held his own in the first third, and then Hillary dominated the final two-thirds of the debate.
Well, to that point, Elena, you it looked like Donald was pulling his punches. And for a guy that has built his entire campaign on going after Hillary, being the man that's going to say it like it is, I thought that was the most surprising thing out of this debate, that Donald had some opportunities. There were some T-ball shots he could have taken at Hillary Clinton, and for whatever reason, he just didn't.
Did you guys not feel like that was strategy?
But what would be the strategy behind it, I guess?
Appear more polite?
I guess, but
yeah,
why at this stage in the game?
I think that he was trying to broaden the tent. If he's going to win, he has to get swing voters. He has to get suburban women to say, okay, he said offensive things before, but I like his focus on trade and on jobs, and that's what's important to me. But instead, you know, which he was able to do in the first third of the debate, but then he sort of got distracted and he got defensive, and rather than sticking on message, he sort of veered off from that, and so he wasn't able to broaden the tent that he would ideally do by being a little bit more reserved, a little bit more polite. And at the end of the day, I mean, he made cracks about Rosie O'Donnell again, which is probably the first time Rosie O'Donnell has ever been mentioned in a political debate before.
Well, there was that time in 1987 or 88.
Yeah, so, yeah, I remember that one.
it is strange, and there's so many different aspects to these things. I think they're just such a silly spectacle. And it's when you take a step back and say, what are we watching right now? But it is such a great point that you and then Travis made it before you jumped on as well. You had her, man. And you even got it. He even got in a Trump zinger with the email talk, with the email retort to the tax records talk. Is there anything he can do in the next debate to kind of come storming back in some people's eyes?
I think it depends on how, whether or not he's able to stay on method, to criticize her at her weak points, or if he veers off again and focuses on the personal insults. If he's unable to, you know, broaden the pool of voters who are interested in voting for him, no matter sort of what Trump shows up, it doesn't matter. He's still going to lose at the end of the day. So I think that for the next two debates, what his advisors are going to be focusing him on is trying to stay on message, hitting her at her weak points, and you know, we'll see whether or not he's able to hold to that. But it sounds like Clinton and her people have clearly picked up on the ability to set traps for him that he'll walk right into.
He spoke a little bit, and some of his surrogates spoke to this after the debate, that he was willing or is going to be willing to bring up President Bill Clinton's extramarital affairs. From that standpoint, what effect will that have, if any, come the next debate? Why is he focused? Why would that now be the focus for him at this juncture in his campaign?
Well, I think it goes to his ability to be an excellent television executive, being able to tease what might happen in the next debate. I mean, that cuts an ad for itself. But I think what, again, I hate to keep harping on this, but it's sort of what he has to do if he wants to win. And it seems confusing because it doesn't seem like that's his primary goal sometimes, is that if he wants to do that, he needs to bring women back, suburban women in particular, back into sort of the fold of voters who might be interested. And I have a hard time imagining that people are going to, you know, take the sins of Bill Clinton and everything that went, you know, people went through in the 90s as Hillary Clinton's fault. The people who think that already are on Trump's side in this. And I don't think bringing up those kinds of infidelities are really what's going to be as effective as, you know, hitting again on Benghazi, hitting again on her weaknesses with the emails. Those are the things that people really care about, and not this infidelity stuff that happened back in the 90s. It's salacious, but it's not what I think is going to turn people away from her to him.
Would you say that this, it's fair to say that this debate compared to previous ones was just so broad by both candidates? I mean, I feel like there were no actual policies or ideas thoroughly discussed. You know, they would just state an idea, but it was so broad. How would you ever even accomplish? I feel like, you know, I feel like America's sitting there like, what's actually going to happen if either of these people take over? They throw out these extraneous ideas that are never even explained, and then we get to the debate, and it's just, I feel like there just wasn't explanations.
Well, I think you're right. I think that there was a lot lacking as far as substance goes in this debate. But to be fair to Clinton's presentation, I do think that she had some moments where she was able to explain, okay, I want to close corporate loopholes. I want to, you know, up taxes on the rich. And that's how we're going to bring in jobs. That's how we're going to be able to, you know, get things passed like equal pay for equal work, that sort of stuff. So she had some in there, at least at the top. But, you know, Trump, I don't feel, was able to articulate as clearly his policy position. And, you know, if we think about what happened in the primary debates, you know, he was on the debate stage with, you know, 4, 5, 16 other candidates
right
at one time. So when policy things come up, if you go back and watch those debates, you sort of see him fade a little bit to the background, because at the end of the day, that's not his strong suit, and that's not really what he wants to focus on. I think that he has ideas, and he's got some things that he hits on his stump, like building the wall, but he didn't even mention building the wall in the debate.
One thing that we did see last night that I guess both sides united behind at some point was Lester Holt's performance. I know we've talked about on this show how difficult of a job anyone would be in trying to play the role that he had to play last night as moderator. Do you think some of the criticisms of Lester Holt were fair, or do you just think that was just naturally going to happen, that no one was going to be, oh, man, Lester Holt did a great job after a debate like that.
Well, I think we're having a really interesting discussion as a country right now as to what the role of the debate moderator really is.
Right.
Some people, like Hillary Clinton's people, really believe that fact-checking should be a key element of what they're doing. Other people think that should be, you know, the opposition, you know, the opponent who should be fact-checking the other candidate in real time.
Right.
And the debate moderator is simply there to keep things civil and let them go at it. But, I think that there are reasons to be frustrated on both sides of that. But I think that we still are sort of figuring out what it means to be a debate moderator. And if we don't really have a definition, I think it's a little unfair to judge Lester Holt for that. But I think as far as he had some key moments where he held people, you know, he questioned things like,
right.
you know, Donald Trump's stance on the Iraq war. So I don't know. I think he did okay. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I honestly think we've said before in this
what
show.
What the hell do you want
from
the guy?
I don't know what else you can do in that situation. It's a very difficult spot
to
be in.
The second he steps up and starts grilling one of them, and then half the country or more than half the country is going to hate him for that. I personally would get mad. We compare him to – there's an umpire in baseball named Joe West who always makes it about him. And you're supposed to be this monk-like figure just kind of aggregating, moving things along, doing things like that. And that's how I would view that. Maybe somebody would like a little more fire with it and he could push. The guy's a registered Republican. He's a black dude. And he's very good at his job or he wouldn't be there. This is as interesting as you can be as a moderator because anything – pushed forward or backwards one way or the other makes you a shill for one side or the other,
right.
and it takes away from the core thing, which is them dancing around each other not doing anything anyway.
Right. I think you're hitting on exactly the right point here, though, is that there is such a distrust of institutions across this entire country, the police, be it university, be it Congress and the media, that anyone is going to be, you know, if they don't like what they're hearing, then people's automatic reaction often is, I'm not saying always, but it can often be like, oh, well, they must be, you know, biased in some way. There isn't sort of that natural sense of like, okay, this is a member of the press, they've got to be objective. This is an interesting turn in American culture right now.
That's a great point. And Elena, before you get out of here, I am curious because I tried to hold the Gary Johnson flag for a little while, and it's just not – it's a no-go. But I did get the feeling that I would have appreciated him up there almost in a smart-ass manner, just laughing, saying, like, this is not feasible, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, with his, Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson voice that he has, I just I would have enjoyed it personally. And again, if ever there were to be a year that a strong third party candidate could make ripples, this is that year, as there's plenty of holes to be poked in each candidate's campaign. But you don't have to go super deep with this, but is there an opportunity down the road, if it's not this year, if it's in 4 years, for somebody with a stronger background or a better push to make their way into the debates?
There has been no better time for a third-party candidate, in my opinion, to try and get in. You know, we have social media that gives people a direct reach into
millions of people. Millions of people heard him on several podcasts that will get behind that. Like-minded ears heard him. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I think that there is no better time for a third-party candidate to get into the fray in the next couple of cycles. But that being said, the bureaucracy and sort of groaning institutions that like keep this country running are still modeled for a two-party system. So I think that yes, there is totally room for it, and there is a mechanism in which to raise a portfolio and your platform and raise money. But I look forward to the kind of candidate or kind of person that might be, because I think it might take someone pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Her name is Elena Schneider. She's joined us, and she is so kind to come on several times now, and we always love talking with Elena. Follow her on Twitter at EC_Schneider.
I was going to ask you guys, too. The thing that's making me more nervous right now is the Chicago Cubs than the 2016 election. So do you guys have any thoughts on their ability to get through?
Wait, so are you from Chicago, Elena?
My whole dad's side of the family is from Chicago. I'm like a fifth generation Cubs fan. Originally from Chicago, but I went to school there, so I got a lot of love for that city.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair question, and I feel bad for your family six generations ago for not seeing a World Series as well. So it's one of those things that you know what, the heavy lies the crown is all I'll say. And you've got the manager, you've got the players. You have the youth and the momentum. You're going everybody's darling. Even if Chicago tears itself apart with fun rioting after a World Series win, people will still support you and think you're just the most darling little team. But boy, it's going to take them really darling. Tripping themselves up, because there's even leadership on the team. And I would be rightfully, you should be nervous, because a lot of wild card teams run through the playoffs and get hot. But, I mean, right. no better time than now to be a Cubs fan, and your team looks fantastic.
Put it this way. If you guys choke this one away, you will never, ever live it down.
Yeah.
You better believe it. So go win it this year.
Hey, no pressure, Elena.
No pressure, of course.
All right, well, next time have me on to talk about the Chicago Cubs in my
fangirly
way.
Here, Elena, before you go,
cheerful.
Are you going to – so you're on the East Coast, correct? Also, thank you. Listeners, I'm dead serious. I know we mosey around a bit on this show. Thank you for letting us know whenever things like that happen, because we said so many F words throughout the break. We
so
were just happy
much.
That was
man, this expletive, this was like Def Comedy Jam in this joint. Now, we want to thank again Elena Schneider of thepolitical.com for joining us to talk about, of course, last night's debate and the fallout. And, Chris, again, do you have Elena's Twitter where folks can follow her?
@EC_Schneider on Twitter.
Excellent. So make sure you guys follow her for, of course, the updates that are going on with the national campaign, but, of course, the House and Senate races around the country, which she is presently covering. We were talking before we got cut off there because of technical difficulties, how very tough of a job that is to cover these type
for
of
her?
Elections.
Yeah,
for
Elena. Yeah.
For anyone, that, for that matter, in that position. It's very difficult to cover these races, to try to get through the BS, to try to present objective news to listeners and to readers. So we appreciate Elena. She's come on our show several times, almost becoming a regular, if you will. A sister of the show, if you will, Chris. So we appreciate Elena joining us. We're coming towards the end of our run here at Over Under. They have always taken care of. They're taking care of us tonight. They will take care of you. So make sure you guys make your way on down to 911 Washington Ave and enjoy their lovely bar and grill and that outstanding patio.
What street was that?
911? 911, no joke?
Washington Ave?
It was Washington. Oh. I don't understand why people don't get that. It's Washington Avenue.
It's Washington Avenue.
Whatever.
Son, you from Afton?
That's one thing a lot of folks don't say to me. Are you from Afton? That's certainly something that doesn't get mixed
up. Sausage and dirty.
No, it's not.
Damn,
that
yeah.
That is absolutely not the case at all.
Yeah, he is. Turn up.
Wow. is that clippable?
That you is the gift that keeps on giving.
You are the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you, Hanners.
Again, in the 4 o'clock hour, if you missed it, it was Pardon the Imig, presented by Hannigan Team Realty. Big thanks to them. Again, visit wearelivehomes.com. Tell Andy to help you. Let him know that we think he's the most handsome realtor on this side of the river.
That is very true.
Or that side of the river. I'll say that. Both sides of the river. Travis, again, we had, Pat Emig was on of the Sporting News. We had Carly join us. We had Brian join us from Over Under here. We're going to be doing more live broadcasts from here, Hannah. I know you're pumped. What'd you have to eat? You had the tuna.
I had the tuna wrap, and it was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Highly recommend it.
Gaines had a rice cake and a couple pieces of lettuce.
That's all that Chris let me have.
That's right. Aww. Yeah. I'm like, listen, man, I'm not going to be the only guy pissed I'm not eating cool food. No, I'm going to have some wings. That's not the worst thing in the world to eat, so I'm going to eat that.
Well,
Travis, you had another. Again, how are you not 750
Literally,
pounds?
I don't.
You eat? Does he eat? Does he eat like
he
a?
Eats
he eats
the
like
most
a stone
13-year-old.
He eats like a stone 30-year-old too.
Not get true.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you can complain like, "Oh, I'm looking a little chunky." Not really.
I did see a picture today where it looks like, man, Travis, you really do a lot of bench pressing, but little cardio as well. I love that look.
Well, and we know better than that, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Gaines, damn these European jeans.
I mean, seriously, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's doing it, European jeans? That's
well, these are actually, I think these are made in Florida.
No, I'm about to say, yeah, those are pretty tight.
These are Calvin Klein.
Oh, relax. Whoa. Wow. I need to talk to McKernan and bump your pay down. You're wearing Calvin Klein's. Well, but, yeah, anything else before we get out of here?
No, man, it's been a great show. We appreciate the folks who are at Over Under. We thank Elena Schneider. We thank our good friend Pat Emick of the Sporting News and PTI today. So it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
Please. Good Mood Hannah was here today.
Good Mood Hannah.
You know, I've had enough of this.
Please, Cardinals, please.
Please, Cardinals,
please.
For the love, of the Lord.
I'm going to be so mad if we do not
They're
going to
do it, despite me saying they're not going to do it. Travis is going to be at the game tonight. If you see him or any other black male,
don't
take a
feel intimidated.
With him.
Yeah, don't feel
take
intimidated.
A selfie with him.
And, yeah, take a selfie with him and buy him a drink, why don't you?
Yeah. There you go. Chris Denman, Travis Terrell, Hannah Rae Yates, and Mr. Michael Gaines. It's been a very fun show live from Over Under Bar and Grill right here. 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, InsideSTL.com, and WeAreLiveRadio.com.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at We Are Live Radio. Chris and Travis are on Twitter, too, at Black to the Future and at TweetDemon. For past shows, not safe for work content, and featured interviews, visit WeAreLiveRadio.com, iTunes, InsideSTL, and the Android Store. Thanks to the Over Under Bar and Grill for having us out. The heavy hitters are up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 4.
Juices my beats.